Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. forgive me when I'm wrong, mean gone. He's the one I lean on when life is hard, mean gone. He's my father, he's my friend, the beginning. He rules the world with
Future and life is worth the living. crystal tide forever.
Oh, yeah, we'll gather at that. Okay, we'll play more music as we go. But now it's time that we get into the sermon. And it's called It's a Good Thing. And we're studying the books of Acts. Okay, we're taking this from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. So let's go with the opening prayer for the sermon. Dear Father in heaven, in quietness we come to you, and we ask for your spirit, Lord. We ask this especially for the time of waiting still required of us as we hope and strive for light to come into all of our hearts, Lord. For the light to shine where there is much death, Lord. We must not despair of our inner life, even when life around us rages, Lord, as it would suck us down into its whirlpool, Lord, and no way out. But you will guard us, Lord. Watch over us, Lord. We pray also in hours of temptation, Lord, so that we may remain under your care, Lord. Watch over us so that we have hope and joy in you, Lord. Assured that your goal for us all is true from life above, a life of resurrection. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, today we begin a new study in the book of Acts. Acts is one of the large stories, but a lot of little stories inside a big story. The book is simply exciting, and it leaves you saying, wow. So many times we'll be going chapter by chapter, verse by verse in the months to come. See, Acts is unique. Acts is unique in what it accomplishes for us inside the New Testament. While there are four Gospels that narrate for us Jesus' life, there's only one account of what happened next. The book tells us how Christianity began to spread throughout the world. Acts answers questions for us where we would scratch our heads. If Acts didn't exist, there would be a great gap in our knowledge of the Bible between the Gospels and the remainder of the New Testament. If it were not for the book of Acts, now, if we had no book of Acts, we would pass in our New Testament from the last page of John, chapter 21, to the beginning of the letter to the Romans, and countless questions would crop up. So Acts is also unique because it's the second longest book in the New Testament. Behind only Luke's Gospel, if you were to sit down to read the book in its entirety, it would take you about 2.5 hours. But this is the big reason why Acts matters. The Acts teaches us how to make our lives count. The truth when your experience of Christianity is stale and it feels like you're drinking a flat Coke, Acts shows a robust Christian faith that energizes us. There is such a thing as Christianity lived out like it's displayed in the books of Acts. So today's scripture, in the first book of O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he is taken up after he has given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me." Okay, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they had asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore a kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That's Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. So Acts is the second volume of Luke's two entries into the New Testament. For those of you who have been around us for a couple of years, you know we went verse by verse through Luke's Gospel, volume 1. Okay, for the better part of 3 years, in fact, I want you to see the connection between the two. The first four verses of Luke's Gospel, which you almost have to read in order to get started with Acts, because it's really a preamble to the whole two books. Inasmuch as many has undertaken, okay, a compile a narrative of things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who are from the beginning, an eyewitness and a minister of the world, okay, have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. That's Luke chapter 1, 1 through 4. So who is Theophilus? We know a few things about him. He might have been wealthy or a person of nobility because in Luke 1 he is called Most Excellent Theophilus, which is, excuse me, which is probably a title. One thing we almost certainly know is that he was a cultured man. He was intellectually sophisticated because, unlike the other books of the New Testament, Luke begins both Luke and Acts with a preamble and is almost identical to the preamble of other works of literature and history at that time. See, Luke is actually making a case to him about why Christianity is true because, again, in Luke chapter 1, he says, in effect, Theophilus, I want you to be convinced. I want you to be absolutely sure in your mind that those things are true. Theophilus is probably some kind of Roman official because of the title Most Excellent, which Luke uses only for Roman officials like Felix. Okay, Acts 23, verse 26, and Festus, Acts 26, 25. The governors of Judea, though like Luke surely intended his work for the whole Christian community, Theophilus have received a special dedication for being a patron who helped defray some of the costs of Luke's writing. Luke loves history and he loves accuracy. Acts is a sequel to Luke's story of Jesus portrayed in his gospel. So are you identified by Jesus' presence? And while staying, this is Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Okay, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. A Christian man should so shine in his life that a person could not live within him a week without knowing the gospel. So Jesus made real. The Holy Spirit makes God's presence real. Christianity is where Jesus is made real. He is evident even through Jesus is in heaven. It is your Christianity more like a dull habit or a raging fire? I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. For believers, we desperately need the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. Just as the Holy Spirit is personal, his ministry is personal to you, for the Holy Spirit makes things alive. Are you alive with his presence today? Here are two signs to deepen Jesus' realness. The Holy Spirit offers Jesus' realness. The people of God have a thirst for a living God. There is a hunger for God's presence. If you want to deepen your experience of Jesus, it's nearly always because of times of extraordinary prayer. There is a difference between maintenance and frontline praying. Maintenance prayer meetings are short, mechanical, focused on physical needs inside the church. In contrast, the three basic traits of frontline prayer are these: a request for grace to confess sin and humble ourselves, 2, a compassion and zeal for flourishing the church and reaching the lost, and 3, a yearning to know God, to see his face, to glimpse his glory. An increased sensitivity to sin. Whenever you see the presence of the Holy Spirit, you see people crying out to God in confessions of sin. You will begin to notice a deepening burning on the minds of people, whether they are old or young, rich or poor, man or woman. Okay, it is what Jesus continues to do. In the first book of Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, Acts 1:1. Circle the word begin in verse 1, because this is highly significant. Every other religion tells us of the founder of our religion completed his ministry in our lifetime. Luke tells us Jesus simply began his ministry, but there is much more to come after he left the earth. Caution, God at work. We need to continually hear that God is still working. Luke writes to Christian believers in order to reassure them that God is still working. This really is the work of God. Luke is telling us, Luke says Christianity is not about being good. It's not at first about anything you do at all. It's about what he's done. God is at work beside us and before us. He works behind, beneath, below, and beyond you. God has a plan, and he has at work advancing his plan in your personal life and in our church's life. Even now, Jesus is speaking and acting. He is alive. He is building his church. All of Acts is a continuation of what Jesus began to do. So join me in a moment of prayer for God to continue his work among us even now. Father, we pray that your very presence will come down to us today. We need your spirit to make yourself known and to make us feel all your authority over us. Cause your word to come home to us. Open your very eyes so we can properly see the word. Then we pray that your holiness would be evident, okay? Turn our hearts away from the worthless things. Instead, turn our lives into the very things that we can give life. Okay? Okay, that's Psalms 119:36-37. Lastly, make your people come alive. Amen? Okay, the early Christians were recognized for having been with Jesus. Are you? Are you energized by Jesus' promise? And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. Okay? This is Acts 1:4-5 again. It's very important. Okay? But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but not you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So a promise made. Jesus refers to a promise. He made the disciples, let me show you something in the magnitude of his gift. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, and the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. That's John chapter 16, verse 7. So did you hear what Jesus said? It was to the disciples' advantage that Jesus go away. Pause and consider this for a moment. When Jesus is around, the disciples had his power near to them to raise the dead, heal the sick, and walk on water. Yet Jesus tells the 12 disciples it is their advantage that he go away because the Helper will come. Given the immense power and ability of Jesus, the Helper must be a substantial gift to Jesus' followers. Can you imagine how unbelievable this sounded to the 12? Having the Holy Spirit is better than Jesus and we're alive and walking on earth today. We could say it this way. Having the Spirit in you is better than having Jesus beside you. The Father has loved you so much that he gave you two great gifts, the Son for you and the Spirit to you. So the baptism in the Spirit. There are seven texts where baptism in the Spirit is found. In the New Testament, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit many days from now. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And I remember the word of the Lord. Now he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 11, 16. All Christians are baptized in the Spirit at the moment of the new birth, not after it. For one Spirit, we are all baptized into the body of Jews or Greeks, slaves, free, and all were made to drink in one Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 12:13. So to be filled with the Spirit is different from being baptized in the Spirit. There is one baptism, but there's a multiple fillings. Remember, all Christians have the Holy Spirit. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 9. So you are baptized in the Spirit when you experience a new birth in Christ. Yet to be filled by the Holy Spirit is to be energized and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now we're in the New Testament, are we commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit after our conversion. The secret sauce of the Christian life is the Holy Spirit. The reality many of us are forced to concede is that our lives are missing the real transformative power of the Holy Spirit. A pastor was trying to dramatize the coming of the Holy Spirit for his church. For his grand finale, he secretly put a small boy up in the ceiling rafters. He put a dove in a cage, and toward the end of the sermon, the preacher was going to shout for the Holy Spirit to come down, and the boy was supposed to release the dove. As he got to the climactic part of his message, he looked up to the rafters and said, Holy Spirit, come down. Nothing happened. He raised his arms again to the ceiling and cried out even louder, come down, Holy Spirit. Still nothing happened. Finally, exasperated and getting angry, he said, I'm not going to tell you again, Holy Spirit, come down. Then everybody heard this little boy shout down from the rafters, Pastor, a yellow cat just ate the Holy Spirit. Do you want me to throw the yellow cat down? Dr. A.C. Dixon said, when we rely upon an organization, we get what organization can do. We rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. But when we rely upon the Holy Spirit, we get what God can do. So here's my second question. The early Christians yield their lives to the Holy Spirit. Have you? Father, We thank you for the tremendous gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving us so much that you have sent the Spirit to make your presence real to us. We pray that you would cause us to receive his counsel for our lives. We pray that you would fill our lives with the Spirit's presence. We pray that you would bring tremendous beauty and grace into our lives and so empower our witness for Christ and those outside of Christ are attracted to the source of this beauty. So are you energized by Jesus' promise? Are you captured by Jesus' message? Take note that these early believers had a message to share and a mission to fulfill. Here we have the last words of our Lord, but you will receive a power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of earth. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. These early Christians were taught that their central role was to be a witness, not a weak witness, not a kind of witness where you're subpoenaed and dragged into court, not a kind of witness where you're forced to say what you know, but you are to be an effervescent witness. Your witness is to be energized around one event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Christianity is a historical faith built around a historical figure named Jesus Christ. Substantiated on a historical fact that he is no longer in the tomb, Jesus Christ is risen. Today, 2,000 years later, we have the same mission and the same message and the same might that can literally set this world ablaze. Because Jesus Christ is alive, since the Holy Spirit is here, we ought to be ignited and excited to fulfill his mission of taking this message to the entire world. Lord, set us afire and let our light shine as bright as our faith burn as hot today as it did 2,000 years ago. So here's my third question. The message of the gospel captured by early Christians' hearts and minds, has it captured yours? That's the end of the sermon, so let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, grant that we may come to you as your children, Lord. Grant that we may come to your Spirit, that something of trust and perseverance may be born in us for life on earth, Lord. May we always be loyal, full of hope, working and striving not only for what is earthly, but for the task that has been laid upon us for our kingdom is righteousness, Lord. Let new light shine out among us again and again, Lord. Let many understand when your voice is speaking to them, Lord, so that they may gain courage, Lord. Let your voice be heard so that the great gospel that makes us your children may be proclaimed to people of all circles. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, this gets us down to the most important question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, you will get a chance to in just a few moments. But let me ask, are you tired of walking around aimlessly in life? Not knowing where to go or which way is up or which way is down. Your day is confused. You're scratching your head. You're wondering, okay, will I be a success? Okay, you're not happy. Okay, you're not joyous. Okay, you're lost, but you needed to be found. Okay, or maybe you're suffering from depression or anxiety or maybe even something worse like alcoholism, drug addiction. Okay, sexual immorality. Okay. Gambling, overeating, whatever it may be. You see, the Lord can take it away. But guess what, folks? If he doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. You understand that? If the Lord does not know you, he cannot do nothing for you. So I ask you, are you willing to let the Lord come into your life and give you happiness, peace, okay, and contentment, okay, and joy? Okay, and happiness. Okay, if so, simply say this little prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation, and I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sin and then rose from the dead on the third day. So So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior this evening. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry want to welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, let's get into playing some more music. Okay, I got a special song I want to play for the invitation. Here we go.
Your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. To Jesus
I stand in incomplete.
Amen. Well, I've got a prophetic message I'd like to be able to deliver to you all. And here we go. And this goes out to all the people who need this message today. And you know who you are. The Father says today, you are called to be light in the earth. While others grope in darkness, choose to be a solution to the pollution around you. I say in my word, I will send deliverers out of Zion. And this is part of your calling. As you go about your day, let your contribution to every person you meet be that of peace and comfort no matter what they are going through. It isn't necessary to agree that things may look bleak or without hope. It doesn't take any insight or talent to acknowledge what the enemy is doing. Put your attention on what I am doing and direct others to do what I am doing in their situation as well, whether they realize it or not. You see, I came to earth that I might bring life, and life more abundantly. Express that life and that hope to all that you may meet. Find a way, and even to the most casual interaction, to leave your peace, as I instructed the apostles to leave their peace in every place they traveled. Refuse to be self-contained, that you wall yourself away from needs and struggles of those around you. The most put-together person you meet, if they don't know me, are languishing in darkness. Show them the light. Show them who I am by allowing the life I have filled you with to be made manifest and helpful in substantive ways to the merest glance or a kind word or gentle encouragement out of your mouth. Amen. Like I said, you know who this word goes out to, and I hope you found a blessing within it. Those who need it. Amen. Well, I'm going to play some more music here. Here we go.
Why don't you swing down, Cherry, stop and let me rise. Swing down, Cherry, stop and let me rise.
Yeah. Beyond the blue, and
broken-hearted little boy blowing out that birthday cake. How I cried when the sky let go with a cold and lonesome rain. Mama smiled, said, "Don't be sad, child. Grandma's watching you today. 'Cause there's holes in the floor of heaven, and her tears are pouring down. That's how you know she's watching, wishing she'd be here. And sometimes if you're lonely, just remember she can see. There's holes in the floor of heaven, and she's watching.
Try to do what his word says, but as we all know, we're all sinners, we all backslide a little. But hey, remember, Even when you backslide, God is still there. He still loves you. And may he keep you under his warm embrace until we meet again Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, same godly time, same godly channel. And we may have some new things for y'all coming next week. Stick around and find out.
Amen. 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 Well, I'm going to close this out with a wonderful song. Okay. And here we go. Central Standard Time for Purpose Gospel Radio. Goodbye.